All right. So, how many of you guys have been coming on Wednesday nights learning about faith? Exciting, isn't it? It's exciting to learn about the power that is in faith. And it's so important that we use our faith continually as God shows us the different areas in our lives that we need to change, the different areas in our lives we need to be set free, and the different areas in our lives that we can bless other people through our faith. So tonight, we're going to talk about the shield of faith. How many of you guys have ever heard about the shield of faith? So might be for some of you, it might be repeat. For others of you, it might be something new. But remember, if it's repeat to you, if something is old to you, then it's not real to you. If you're like, oh yeah, I know that, that's fine, I know all that, then it's not real to you. It's not a truth that you have that's alive to you. So, all right, let's start off by praying together today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for all of those who are here tonight. I thank you that our ears are open to hear the Holy Spirit speak to us about the areas of it in our life where our faith needs to be strengthened, where our faith needs to be shored up, or where our faith needs to be connected with other believers. I thank you, Father, that we have ears to hear and hearts to receive. I thank you, Father, that the gift of the teacher is within me. I stir it up by faith right now. I thank you, Lord, for anointing my words and that I speak not my own opinion, but only what you want said tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so for those of you who came in late, my name is Reverend Leanne Tomino. I've been a member here since we first started out on James Street. I started off as the children's and youth pastor here and was here for almost 20 years as the children's and youth pastor. And then I moved on to get married. My husband and I started a nonprofit called In My Father's Kitchen, if you've ever heard that. We do a street outreach to the homeless. So that's presently where our life is right now. All right, so in here, you guys have learned about what faith is, how to use it, what the enemies of faith are, and how to build your faith up. So tonight, we're going to look at faith as a powerful weapon that God gave each of us. We're going to look at the shield of faith. So turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to look at verses 10 through 13. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. And I'm going to read this out of the New Living Translation. It says, "A final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on peace that comes from the good news that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere." All right, there is so much in those scriptures. And if we had the time to talk about the whole armor of God, you would walk out of here being pumped up. But we're going to start off with one piece tonight. We're going to talk about the shield of faith. So the shield of faith is something that is a part of an armor that is very powerful. And the armor, Paul tells us we need to put it on. It's not something that God puts on you. You need to put it on. So we're going to put on the armor together. We're going to confess it together so you guys can kind of get an idea of how to do this. So I want you to stand to your feet. Oh, gosh, I got to stand up. I'm going to make you move around. Okay. children's pastor, what can I say? All right? All right, so I want you to repeat this after me. And then do the actions because it will help you remember it later, okay? Say, I buckle my waist with the belt of truth, which is the uncompromising word of God. I put on the breastplate of righteousness, which is my right standing before God. I shod my feet with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I put on the helmet of salvation. I take up the sword of the Spirit, which is sharper than any two-edged sword, praying for all men everywhere, by the Spirit, with all manner of prayer and supplication. And I lift up my shield of faith, which extinguishes every fiery dart of the enemy. Now put your hands down and say, and having done all to stand, I stand. For I refuse to pay for the same ground twice. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You guys just put on the armor of God. All right? Have a seat. That's something you can do every single morning. You can get up and put that armor on every morning, and you're reminding yourself, okay, I have on my shoes of peace. That means I'm steady in God's word, and if the enemy comes and tries to move me around, I'm going to take a stand. I love the thought that it's you are not going to pay for the same ground twice. Jesus already paid for the victory. Why are you trying to pay for it? He already paid for it. He paid for your healing. He paid for your deliverance. You do not have to pay for it. You just have to step into that realm of faith and hold up your shield of faith and begin your battle. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. So each piece of this spiritual armor, once again, is powerful. Each piece has its own position that it is used in your life, in the believer's life. And tonight, once again, we're going to talk about that shield of faith that Paul had. Paul said that you had to take it up. Another translation says he requires it of you. Raise up your shield. It's not something, your faith isn't something you can just, you know, throw on your back and just kind of walk around with or drag on the ground or put it behind, this is a great one, put that Bible on your bed and then walk away from it and never see it again for another 2 days until you go back, oh yeah, I should probably read that, okay? That's not building up your, holding up your shield of faith. You have to choose to do it. You have to engage it. You have to use it. God is not going to do it for you. He provided it to you. Now you have to do something with it. So what was Paul thinking when he said this whole armor idea? Well, Paul was in a time when there were Roman soldiers. And so when he was talking about the shield of faith, the Holy Spirit gave him something specific to see so that he could try to make the believers understand what the Holy Spirit was saying about faith. Now, in the Roman days, the soldier had two kinds of shields. The first one was a round shield that was very elaborate, very dressy, might have kind of feathers on it. And he used those for celebrations and for marching and parades. But the shield that the Holy Spirit wanted you to see was the shield that he used in battle. And I'm going to have my husband come up and show you what one of those shields would look like. Okay, the Roman shield that he used in battle was not a small shield. It was about the size of a door. It covered the Roman soldier from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. This little bud right here was what was used to hit the enemy to push them back. If the enemy was coming towards you, you just use that to keep pushing them back. They would hit them, and then they would put the shield down on the ground and take their sword and go around and stab their opponents. The shield was a protector. It totally covered them, totally. And just, you know, I'm going to take a little rabbit trail here. The sword that they used was a double-edged sword. What does that sound like? The word of God, that double-edged sword. This was a very interesting sword. When he stabbed you in your stomach and turned the sword and pulled it out, he pulled all your intels out too. So when you're going after the enemy with your sword of the Spirit, it's not a dainty thing. Go in. Go in to get your victory. Don't be like, oh yeah, you know, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to touch you there. It's by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. Take that. I take it away from you, and I take my healing back. That's the kind of soldier that Paul was looking at. So we have this shield. Thank you, John. You can just set it right there so they can see that. It was curved on the edges here. So you weren't just like, you can't really see with the cardboard, but when it's curved on the edges, you're totally encased in it. It's like a door. You're totally protected. The shield identified by whatever was on the outside of it, identified what legion you were in, what your position was, and when other opponents saw it, they were scared because they recognized who these victors were coming. They saw on that shield, this is an army that is coming to destroy and win. The shield of faith was something that Paul wanted you to see like this. Not a little round shield, not a medieval triangle shield that you just kind of hold here, but a shield that is totally covering you from top to bottom. The shield of faith is to be taken up in all circumstances. Not this, this right here. Take it up in every circumstance. The Roman shield was extremely durable and tough. It was giving us a visual of the God kind of faith. Now, if you go to Mark 11, 22 and 23, it talks about what kind of faith there is. And if you look in the side over there, it will say the God kind of faith. Jesus says, have faith. And the actual Greek is have the God kind of faith. Well, what is the God kind of faith? The God kind of faith is the faith that speaks out, speaks to that mountain and commands it to move and believes in your heart that what you say you will have. It's not magic. It's not wishing. It's believing. It's trusting. It's knowing that what you say based on God's word is what you will have. That's the God kind of faith. This is the kind of faith that this shield stood for. It's looking at the shield and strapping it to your arm and lifting it up in the midst of every single situation that you come into. How many of you guys might be in a situation right now? If you're not, you're lying. Everybody's got stuff going on in their lives. It's amazing how when you teach something, I began to write this lesson, and I stopped myself in the midst of it, and I said, I'm going to be tested on this, aren't I? And I got a, yep, you are. You're always tested on what you teach, aren't you? And I can tell you that this week was an amazing testing week up to taking my daughter to urgent care today and spending all day in urgent care with her and not having the opportunity to really prepare tonight. That is being tested, but knowing and having faith that God has a word for you tonight. Amen? All right. So I wanted to go back about to the God kind of faith. It's really important to realize it's not denying. It's not denying or lying and saying, I don't have that. Like if somebody comes up to you and says, oh, you sound like you have a cold. No, I don't have a cold. I'm not sick. You know, and well, you know, your nose is running all over the place. No, I rebuke that. I'm not sick. It's not denying what is truth, what is going on right there. But it's instead looking at what God's word says and choosing to believe that as the reality that you're stepping into instead of what you're seeing right here. And believing that beyond what you may feel, what you may hear, what you may see. It's wearing an insulin pump for 20 years and still knowing that by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. You can argue with me as much as you want, but every time I go to the doctors, they don't know what to do with me. I'm an enigma to them. They're not quite sure why this should be happening, and you're this old, and this should be happening. But God's doing something. Amen? Because his word doesn't return void. And I'm not going to throw down my faith and say, my shield and say, oh, well, you know, I prayed, somebody laid hands on me, and it didn't work. See? Just throw it down. I'm not going to do that. Instead, as the healing comes and progressions, I'm thanking God. I'm standing on his word. I'm thanking him. In Luke 18:3, the widow said, Lord, give me the right of justice against my enemy. So let's go to the courtroom. Let's stand in the courtroom with the shield of faith. Who's the judge? My father. Who's my lawyer? Jesus, my advocate. Who's the jury there? The great cloud of witnesses, my brothers and sisters who've gone before me. So I've got it in the bag. Doesn't matter what the enemy says. Doesn't matter what he tries to do. I stand with my shield of faith. Boom, right there. I'm not moving. This is what God's word says. I don't care what I see. I don't care what I hear. I don't care what circumstances say. You will not move me from this place. God heals. End of story. Amen? All right. So that's just my personal look at it. So let's go back to talking about how the shield of faith is positioned in your life. Your shield of faith is very important and vital to providing you a blanket of protection in everything that you're doing in your life. But once again, Paul urges us, you have to take it up. Again, it's not something God just, you know, pours upon you. You have to take it up. You have to choose to believe. You have to choose to trust. Look at Ephesians 6:16. We're already in Ephesians 6. Go down to the 16th verse there. And it says in verse 16, in addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery darts of the devil. One translation says, above all. Now, that's not saying that the shield of faith is more important than all the other pieces of armor. What it's saying is, it's a position. Above all, you have to hold up that shield of faith. It's very important. You have all these pieces of armor, but without that shield of faith, you can be open to attack. So you have to have that shield of faith. Now, how do you take care of your shield of faith? Well, let's go back to how the Romans took care of their shield. A shield for a Roman soldier needed daily attention. You couldn't just, you know, fight with it, then put it in your tent, walk away, come back, pick it back up. It needed to daily be dipped in water and oil rubbed upon it. They were made out of wood and out of leather. And if you did not do that daily, the leather became brittle and very hard. And it just took one soldier to smack your shield and it would crack. So it took daily attention. Because the Roman soldier is a representative of our shield of faith, we can see how Paul is saying that we need to take care of our shield of faith daily. And I'm sure you've been learning in these workshops. Faith is not something that you can just set aside and be, okay, it's going to grow. You have to put feet to your faith. You have to do something. You need to give attention to it daily. So just as the soldier put oil and water on it, let's put the water of the word on our shield every single day. We need to keep our faith daily dipped in the water of the Word. You can't walk away from God's Word for 3 weeks and then expect that you're going to be in the same place when something happens. You have to daily be dipped in that water of the Word, because when the fiery darts come, if your shield is not dipped in the water of the Word and nice and wet, what's going to happen when those fiery darts hit you? They're not going to extinguish like that. If you had the water of the Word on there, boom, 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 you're going to have to struggle with it and fight with it instead of just kicking it aside. Got to take a little bit longer with it. Another thing you have to look at is in John 14:23. Jesus tells us the Holy Spirit will bring to our remembrance when we need the Word. Well, if you don't have anything in your storehouse, there's nothing to bring to remembrance. So you need to fill your storehouse. And He will, whatever you have in there, the Holy Spirit is very creative. And whatever your situation is, He'll bring something to your remembrance, and it will be the Word. And it is the Word that will change the situation. Not whining, not crying, not begging. The Word of God is what will change that situation. So we got our shield, we got it in the water of the Word. What's the other thing the soldier put on it? Water and what? Oil. So what do you think that is? That's the presence of the Holy Spirit, the oil of the Holy Spirit. You need to be having an intimate conversation with the Holy Spirit every day. Getting into the Word, just juicing up the Word of God inside your life, and then spending time with the Holy Spirit. Just rubbing that into your faith. The Holy Spirit will take you places. Okay, yeah, you need to do this. You need to correct this. I'll help you with that. This is the place you need to go. But if you're not spending time with Him, you're not going to be able to have that on your shield. You're pretty much going to be drying out. And when the arrows start hitting you, you're going to be open for attack and maybe for hurt. So you have to make sure that your shield does not get ignored, because then it's going to become hard and brittle and stiff. And then when the enemy comes to attack you, guess what's going to happen? You're going to hit bottom and have to come back up. Okay? So it's really important that you keep your faith intact with fellowshipping with God. Fellowshipping, and not just, you know, on Sundays and Wednesdays. Fellowshipping with God every day. Not just fellowshipping with God when you have your family devotions or your group devotions. Fellowshipping with God that way and by yourself, for yourself, with the Lord. Very, very important. If your faith is ignored and allowed to be undeveloped, you'll soon find yourself under attacks that you can't push back and getting yourself in some trouble. So how do we apply the shield of faith in our lives? And just as the shield guards and defects an enemy's attack, your faith is your first line of defense. It absorbs every hit that the enemy makes. Now, John 10:10 tells us that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. News bulletin, the enemy, when he shoots a fiery dart, isn't out to just tap you or hurt you. He's out to destroy you. He's hoping that that first fiery dart that he shoots is going to immobilize you and make you just frozen in a place where you can't be used by God anymore, where you put your shield of faith down and are just so fear-ridden that you're like, okay, if I just don't move anywhere from here, then everything will turn out for me. That's the way that the enemy works. He doesn't work just literally. Turn to 1 Peter 5:8. 1 Peter 5:8. We're just going to look at a short little scripture here. We're talking about how the enemy is out to really do some damage to us. 1 Peter 5:8. It says, once again in the New Living Translation, "Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Now, if you go to the original Greek in the word devour, it means to swallow down. So what the enemy does is he beats on you and shoots at you again and again and again until he can break you down into little pieces so he can swallow you. The devil, like a roaring lion, can't come and just devour you. He can't. He has to do it piece by piece by piece. That's why sometimes you're like, am I ever going to get a break? Or I've heard this sometimes, why does this always happen to me? Why am I the one that this always happens to? The enemy is attacking again and again because he wants to break you down, so you put your shield down. And once you get your shield down, then he can devour you. But when you have your shield up, the enemy can hit you again and 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 again, and we could go on all night and nothing would break you because your shield is strong. You've been applying the word to it. You've been spending time with the Holy Spirit. The enemy comes, you recognize him, that fiery dart comes, and you're like, no, I recognize you, and you're a liar. You're saying that I'm not going to make it. Well, you're the father of lies, and you're lying, so that means I am going to make it. All right? So the devil will try to devour you. He'll try to bring you down. But as believers, we can take our shield of faith, this is so wonderful, and not just defend ourselves, but we can work together and be a powerful force together, using our faith together. As a Roman soldier gave us the picture of how that works, we're going to look at that one more time. Can I have, George, can you come up here, and John? I'm going to show you guys a little example. Indeed, we'll show the video after they show this, okay? I want to show you an example of how it would work in the Roman army. So we have two soldiers here. They have their shields. Pretend you got your shields out there, okay? Pretend like, you know, you're going to fight for each other, so get a little closer. All right? Now, this is what they would do. They would, as a group, put their shields together. So now they have their shields together. And then take a step forward. The soldiers in the line behind them would put their shields above them. And then the soldiers behind them would put their shields up like these guys have their shields. All of a sudden, you have like an armored tank going forward to take over whatever the opponent is doing out there. It's no longer just one shield. It's a whole army of shields going forward to take over. And they called this the tortoise. And I want to show you a small video clip so that you guys can see how they formed the tortoise and how it worked. And then we're going to talk about how that works for us as believers.
For 30 years, the Roman Empire of Tiberius Caesar has ruled the wasteland of Judea and its people.
Barabbas!
As tribune to Prefect Pontius Pilate, my task is to keep order in a city that is steeped in unrest. The Jews pray to their single god Yahweh for the arrival of the mystical Messiah, as their religious leaders, the Sanhedrin, try to keep an uneasy peace. But each day creates more zealots to challenge the rule of Rome and bring freedom. Instead, we bring them death.
No! Kill them all!
Forward!
right, so doesn't that get you excited? I mean, think about it. You're being attacked by the enemy, and you grab some believers at church, and you guys form one of those, and he's up on this high place trying to bring you down, and you have some of your brothers and sisters behind you climb up that wall and destroy the enemy. I love it. That is what we need to see when we're talking about faith. It's not burdensome. It's not heavy. It's not like, oh, I got to work on my faith. I got to build my faith. You know, like kind of like exercising. Exercising and I don't really go together well. But it's not like that. It's like coming together with your faith. You could see that there were holes in the army. And some people were getting hurt, and some people were getting knocked down. They had their shields out, but there were holes. And there's times when the body of Christ comes together and pulls so there's no holes anymore. When pastor comes and says, let's agree in prayer, that's what we're making. We're making one of those. We're going forward into the territory that the devil thinks he owns, but it's not his. Jesus said, occupy till I come. What does that mean? It already belonged to us. So we need to go in and occupy that land. Take it back. The devil stole it. Let's build it together. Let's go in there with our army and take it back. Amen? So next time when pastor says, okay, grab someone's hands, we're going to pray together, and we're going to believe together, somebody should jump up and say, yeah! Because you're thinking about what we're going to do. It's not like, okay, be quiet and hold that person's hand and hope that God hears us. It's like, let's get out there with our faith and do something. Let's change the streets of Syracuse through our prayer. Let's join together and make differences in what's happening in the lives of believers who are sick, lives of believers who are struggling with poverty, lives of believers who feel like they just can't go on anymore. They're weary, they're tired. Let's bring them up with our shields. But how can that happen? Only when we are taking care of our own shield. If we're not spending time in the Word, if we're not spending time with the Holy Spirit, our shields are going to be one of those shields that have an opening and we might get knocked down. I would rather be a soldier out front with my shield strong. And if my brother or sister is having a hard time, I'm going to throw my shield over there and say, I got your back. Amen? All right. So your shield of faith is your way of escape from the fiery darts of temptation and trouble that the enemy brings. Once again, the enemy is not out to do patty cake. The enemy is out to destroy you. He's not going to play nice. He's out to destroy you. What the enemy wants to do is he wants to shoot an arrow and lodge an arrow in your thinking that you distrust God's goodness. When you begin to trust that God is good, your shield goes down. But when you know God is good no matter what, that shield is strong. That shield is there no matter what. Lord, I don't understand what's going on right now, but I know that you are good all the time. And you're going to turn this around for my good. So I'm holding my shield of faith up. I'm not putting it down. God is good. The enemy constantly wants to get us to distrust God, to not believe in his goodness. And in your mind, that can cause you to become an easy target. You give in to temptation easily because you believe that what that temptation has to offer you is better than what God's promise has for you. Why is that better for you? Well, it's easier. It's faster. I don't have to work as hard for it. It's a sure thing. I know how it's going to make me feel. So you go for those things instead of standing firm with your faith, with your shield. And what a lot of us do is we hold our shields up, and then behind us, we're okay, I'm building a fire escape. Just in case, God, you don't come through, I'm going to have something behind here just in case you don't do what you said you would do. please. Don't do that with your shield. Don't build fire escapes just in case God doesn't come through. Don't be one to sing the songs. What is that song that says, I believe in your faithfulness. You've never failed me yet. There's that little yet that leaves kind of a doubt there that there's a possibility that you could fail me. Instead of saying that God is good, there is nothing that God can't do for us, that he is the God of faithfulness. He is a God of a sure thing. You've been good to me. You've been faithful to me all my life. All my life you've been faithful to me. My husband and I were talking on the way here, and we were talking about an experience that he had had some years ago. And he got up in the morning and, you know, was doing his thing. And then as the day went on, he just kind of felt like this, you know, depression and just kind of came upon him. And the Lord quickened unto him and said, how have things changed? From when he got up in the morning and was praising the Lord and saying, you're good and you're faithful, what changed? Did God change? No. The only thing that changed was his thinking and his circumstances. That's all that changed. Did God change? No. God is the same. He's the same today as he was yesterday, as he'll be tomorrow, as he is right now. Hebrews 13:8, if you want to look that up later. God does not change. He's the same. He's the same God that gave you life when you came out of your mother's womb and opened your mouth to breathe, as he is the God who gave you the life and the breath in your life today when you got out of bed. He hasn't changed. He's the same. He's a faithful, faithful Father. So stop building those fire escapes behind you and just stand with your shield of faith. And know, I believe in God's word. I'm holding on to my shield of faith. And this is what reminds us that God is doing what he promised, though we might not see it at the moment. It might not be readily visible for us, but God is true to his word. Well, I know so-and-so who is believing God and they died. God is still true to his word. I can't tell you why they died. You can talk to God about that when you get to heaven. But know that God is true to his word. His word does not come back void. That means his word does not come back without doing it what he sent it forth to do. God's word is very strong. It's powerful. That's why we need to apply it to our shield, so we have something strong to stand behind. He is our covenant partner, okay? I gotta have you look at this one. Psalm 89. Psalm 89, verse 34. This is one of my favorite scriptures. Psalm 89, verse 34. And if you're not sure what covenant means, a covenant is a promise that cannot be broken. It's not made by man. Man can break his promises. Even when, you know, you do a pinky swear and you believe that it's going to happen, God will not break his promise. So when God made a covenant with us, this is a promise that cannot be broken. And Psalm 89:34 says, I will not break my covenant. I will not take back a single word I said. Okay, so now let's go back over to your shield. What did God say? He wouldn't break his word. He wouldn't take it back. Well, you know, I kind of messed up, and I haven't been, like, really living right, and I haven't really been reading the word or spending time with God. Doesn't matter. God won't break his word to you. He's not going to hold back his love from you or his blessings from you or his promise from you because you messed up a little bit. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. He will not break his promise to you. So that's a shield of faith that you can hold on to every single time. when we have both the faith in God and in his power operating in our lives, we become armed and confident and ready for battle. What does Hebrews 11:6 say? It says that that God is pleased with us when we believe in him and believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Well, there's two promises there. He's going to reward you, but what's the back end of that? When you diligently seek him, your shield of faith is going to be strengthened when you diligently seek him. Seek him in his words. Spend time with him in prayer. Build a relationship with him. The choice really comes down to, we all have a shield of faith, correct? Do you have your shield? What position are you going to put it in? Are you going to lay it down? Are you just going to leave it? Or are you going to pick it up, and are you going to apply the word to it? Are you going to spend time with the Holy Spirit in his presence so that your shield becomes a strong shield? Everybody can argue with you and give you reasons why faith does not work and why you should put it down and their experiences. But I'm telling you, when God says it, it's like Dad saying, this is it. It's because I said so. You can stand on that. I had an experience on Mother's Day quite a few years ago where my husband, it was my first Mother's Day, and he was going to surprise me. So he took my daughter, and they went off and went to Wegmans to buy me flowers and all those wonderful things. But when my husband came back, he noticed there was something wrong with me. My skin had kind of a gray look to it, and my eyes were rolled back in the back of my head. So he called the EMTs, and they came, and they began to prepare him that I was not going to make it. They said, people like her do not come back. And what did my husband do? He got out his shield of faith and began to pray. Now, in this time, while this is happening, I had an experience to be with the Lord. I didn't want to come back. But the Lord sent me back, and as I was coming back, I heard the voice of the Lord say to me, I will not take my servant before her time. That's a word that I can stand on. So whenever things happen and the enemy comes and tries to get me feeling like, you know, scared that things are going to happen, I have that promise to stand on. Nope, sorry, I may be sick right now, and this may be happening, and I may be in the hospital right now, but I have my father's word. My daddy said so. He's not taking me before his time. So I have that promise that he's going to let me know when it's my time. Amen? I had recently someone say to me, I don't know if I believe in Jesus. How do you know you believe in Jesus? Got out my shield of faith, put my shield of faith out, because I heard his voice speak to me. I heard him say, I will not take my servant before her time. Now, you may not have had that experience where you heard the voice of the Lord, but you heard the voice of the Lord say, come to the table and eat. Come to the table and receive my forgiveness. You heard that. You came tonight because you were in somewhere in your life at a point where you said yes to Jesus. And as soon as you said yes to Jesus, he put one of those in your hands, a shield of faith that you could use in every situation. He didn't leave you to be rolled over by the enemy. He left you with armor to use, armor that you could hold up in any situation. And if you were starting to feel weary, and there's times when we're believing for things and we just kind of start to feel a little weary, that's when you call your brothers and sisters and form one of those tortoises and just march into battle and take those places that you need to take. Amen? So as we close tonight, I want to take a few moments to just think about your shield. And it's the goodness of God that brings power to that shield. And we're going to take the opportunity to pray together for each other, to strengthen our faith and know that we fight our battles with the goodness of God. My faith shield is a little beat up, Reverend Leanne. It's not quite where it needs to be. Great. Let's get you with people who can help you shore up your faith. You can walk out of here with your faith shield strong and ready for battle. You don't have to walk out of here dragging your shield behind you and saying, well, you know, it was all good. It was great. I heard it, but it doesn't work for me. Bah. Okay? No. God's word is true for everybody, and it does not return void. So we're going to take a moment, if that's all right, Pastor Pascal. We're going to take a moment, and if you are in your life right now, and you are struggling with your faith, and you are struggling to believe that you have a shield of faith that can actually do something, I'm going to ask you to come up here in a few minutes. And I'm going to call a few people to come up to help you to pray for your faith. Okay? And we're not going to do long, drawn-out prayers. We're just going to speak the truth. And the truth is that God is good all the time, that he's faithful. And if you're struggling in an area of your faith and your shield of faith is feeling a little weak in that area, then let us pray for you and strengthen you up, all right? So I'm just going to be led by the Spirit now, and I'm going to ask a few people to come up. And as the song is playing, if you feel that you need prayer for your faith, I want you to come up and stand in front of that person and let them pray for you. And if we have a lot of people, just make a line and we'll just go down the line. Now, something very interesting. Don't run to the speaker. Oh, I got to have the speaker pray for me. No. We all have the same Father. We all serve the same God. It doesn't matter who you're standing in front of. Whoever you're in front of is the person God has for you. They have something for you that only they can give you. So don't look for personalities. Look for the Holy Spirit. You're not coming up here for people. You're coming up here to ask the Father to help you. Amen? So as this song plays, we're going to have you come up here. And